Thank you for listening to the Catchify London podcast. For more information about CTF London, visit us on ctfl.life.
The presence of God loves hunger. There's something about the hunger in our hearts that ushers in the presence of God. Church without the presence of God is a club. I don't want to be part of another club. I want to be part of heaven on earth. And something's brewing. And it's not just good coffee. The Holy Spirit, there's a thickening of his presence, and we were in Toronto in August, and we were in Toronto in 2 weeks ago. So 2 months in a row, Stu and I were in Toronto, and something changed in my heart. I've always been hungry, but something hit me. He was called Jesus. I know I got an impartation of an upgrade of hunger. Now, I'm hungry anyway. I love worship. I love his presence. I honor his presence. But we felt tonight that we wanted to release some impartations that we have received and to talk briefly with Carol about what it was. What it was that stirred her to hunger to take it. Someone say, I'm going to take it tonight. Ha! And when we were in the prayer room this afternoon, I just heard the Lord say, how hungry are you to be set ablaze again for my glory? And in my heart, I was like, set me ablaze, set me ablaze, set me ablaze. I'm like, I feel like I'm on fire. Anyway. But set me ablaze, set me ablaze. And we were just praying out loud, and I just had this refrain that we cannot rely on yesterday's impartation and encounter for what he's going to do today. There's a fresh fire. He's recommissioning tonight. He's re-empowering and he's re-establishing. I felt there are people here tonight. I can see a few people all over the room. You're here for such a time as this because God is going to give you something to take away with you. There's a rekindling. There's a re-kind of poking. It's like Carol's going to poke you. I'm going to poke you and something's going to be set ablaze again in your hearts. Because I'm not satisfied. I want more. I want more. Just put a hand on your friend next to you and ask the Holy Spirit to come. Stir up the gift within you. 2 Timothy, by the laying on of hands, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would stir us for more. You would stir us for more. And I declare in the house tonight, ho, ha, that there's going to be a reawakening. There's going to be a reawakening for some and an awakening for others. There's going to be an advancement in the kingdom tonight. And I just speak to every generation represented in this house. And I implore you, get ready, get ready, get ready. When you receive an impartation, you have a choice to grab it and never be the same. Or you have a choice in a week's time to forget you received it. And I know, woo! I know, huh, I'm going to talk a bit about fiery friends versus friendly fire. You want to get yourself some fiery friends because you don't want to come under friendly fire. And it's something about, wow, when God brings people together, we have no idea why, but we call it priming the pump. We call it when, even when we're worlds apart over the other side of the ocean, fire on you today. There's a joining of hearts, and I felt a challenge for tonight that you need to get yourself some fiery friends who are going to lift you heavenward, not pull you downward. And when impartation comes and when someone releases a blessing to your heart, you have a choice to take it. You have a choice to grab it and hold it. And you have a choice to ask and inquire of the Lord, how is that going to look in my life? Just turn with me, whoa, quickly to some. 104. Psalm 104. Woo. Verse 3. Oh, I love this. Okay, he lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the winds. Someone say, hi, Holy Spirit. Oh. That's why I'm here. For him, not for a club, for his presence. Who makes his angels spirits, his ministers of flames of fire. Someone say flames of fire. I saw, when we were praying, I saw the angels be released. It was like God was deploying them into this place. In fact, I won't do that. Go with me to Hebrews 1. Whoa, verse 7, and then I'll say what I saw. Stir us up, Holy Spirit. Hunger, more. Hebrews 1, verse 6. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And of all, and of the angels, he says, who makes his angels, someone say angels, spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. The burning ones don't need setting on fire again. His angels are fire. I need setting on fire again. I want an upgrade. I'm not satisfied. And my prayer tonight is that when we receive impartations, it is not for this moment right here, right now. It's for tomorrow. It's for next year. It's for when you see someone with cancer. Fire! It's for when you see the dead person. Fire! He doesn't give you fire to sit there and then come to church next week and ask for just more fire when you've not used what he gave you last week. There's a challenge in the house tonight. Use what he's given you. And Stu and I, we've learned so much from John and Carol. I have had the utmost honor and privilege of having this beauty raise me spiritually for nearly 14 years. And she has taught me everything I know, along with the Holy Spirit. Nearly. But you have to understand, Timothy didn't talk about generations gone past and reminding ourselves of our generations and then stir up the gift within us and reignite within us what our generations past have won for us for no reason. And whenever I'm in a place where I'm like, God, these blind eyes aren't opening, I take a step back and I'm like, come like a riding, rushing wind and a flame of fire. Come like a mighty wind. Come like a surging water, come whatever, and stir up the gift within me. I remind myself of some testimonies from John and Carol. I remind myself what they won for me, and I choose to give away what I've got. Because if I stand there just relying on their testimony and not choose to give it away, nothing will happen. I want my hunger to grow. I want the fire to grow. I want the passion to grow. I want God to see that I'm hungry about the impartation I've received. I don't want him to say to me next week, what did you do? What was imparted to you last week? Okay, just look at your friend right now and just say, get hungry. I felt 3-4 things for tonight. He's looking for ones to ignite tonight. Someone say, pick me. He's going to release his burning ones to release his burning ones. So I saw the angels be released from heaven to literally be a catalyst and impart the fire of the Father's love to ignite you unto. It's not to ignite you for an encounter. That's amazing. But it's to ignite you unto. It's about what's to come. He sets you ablaze. And when I feel like the fire is diminishing, or I feel like I need a boost, I'm like, God, right now, who? Come, Holy Spirit, like a mighty rushing wind. I lay a hand on my own head, like Timothy talks about. I stir up the gift within me, and I declare, I set myself on fire so people come and watch me burn. Wigglesworth? Wesley. I want to be in that place where I set myself on fire because I have the fire in me. Someone say fire. I don't know why I'm saying fire. Woo. Okay, what is impartation? Some of you know what impartation is. Some of you are new to Catch Fire London. Some of you are young in your faith. So I just want to encourage you. Impartation, and when Carol is speaking and sharing testimony, this is what I learned. When we sit over coffee and gossip about Jesus, I don't just sit there and think, oh, this is a nice conversation. I'm like, I want more. I don't suck her dry, but I receive the anointing. Fiery friends squash you out. Don't squash you out. Friendly fire squashes you out. I release into her atmosphere a hunger, and it's called priming the pump. I release hunger, and we find ourselves when we're chatting, it's like we stir each other up. We remind ourselves, and then we're like, ooh, Holy Spirit loves it. Two really fiery ones are coming together, and then bam, he's there. And all of you guys, don't just think that what you're doing right here, right now, is just sitting here. Receive the impartation. Get used to being with each other and encouraging each other, spurring each other on. Fiery friendships. Impartation means the ability to give to others that which God has given to you. Someone say, I'm going to give him away. Why don't you say it like you mean it? I'm going to give him away. Woo! Sovereignly or through anointed vessels or messengers of God, that would be you, in the transference of gifts from one man or woman of God to another, especially through the laying on of hands. Passion, igniting, bestowing gifts so that it's the Holy Spirit you're passing on. You're passing on not just a thing, he's a person. You're stirring up he that is already within you if you've said yes to Jesus and you've had a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he stirs us for hunger. He stirs us for more. So what comes first? Someone say hunger. He's looking for one who'll cry out, I want more. Who's going to cry out, I want more? Carol, come and join me. Stu, come and join me. Just come up here. And just, yeah. And then Isaiah 6. Turn me to Isaiah 6. This is incredible. There's a cry of holy that releases the shaking of the temple or the doors. There's a cry of holy. And I was reading this scripture where the angels come. The angels come and they cry out, holy, holy, holy. But it wasn't the presence of the people. It's like the hunger ushers in the presence. Oh. And when you're hungry, he'll always come. So look at your friend and say, I choose to be hungry. The cry of holy. And I wrote down here earlier, I believe tonight there's a reestablishing. Someone say reestablishing. There's a recommissioning. And when you hear something, whoa, from Carol or me that you think, I want it, just yell, I'll have it. Because God's looking for a hungry heart. Bishop Joseph Garlington was with us last week somewhere. Where were we? London, somewhere. And he was saying God's not looking for passivity. He's looking for action. Declaration is moving. And so when you hear something of a testimony that you like, I want it, don't be passive. Oh, I think I'll have it. Grab it. Be like, I'm hungry. I want it. Because what Carol did for me is remind my soul that there's more. There was a stimulation that happened of hunger in my heart that says, whatever I've had today is not enough for tomorrow. I want more. There was a passion in the secret place. We used to, when we traveled together, more than we travel now that we've got the church, I'd go to Carol's room and we'd just literally lie down and soak for hours, tarry for hours with the Holy Spirit, waiting to hear what he was saying. And we wouldn't move until we knew he was done. Catherine Coleman never got up on the platform until she felt Holy Spirit move. We're not here for anything else other than Holy Spirit. He's the one. So just put a finger on your friend right now and stir up the Holy Spirit within them. And I bless you right now, whoo, to release a hunger, an expectation that the fire will burn afresh in your hearts and that you will be stirred unto more hunger because of what you hear. We cry out for revival, ha! But there are some keys that God gave John and Carol in the early years to revival. But right now, why don't you come and stew? Just, first of all, whoa, whoo, come and ha, whoo, come, hello, friend.
My fiery friend.
Come and talk about, whoa, what happened when you were first imparted to. Woo! Because we want to burn. It's hot.
See, everything that God does is for a season and a time and a reason. You just might think you're having a good time or he's touching you. It isn't that lovely. Ah, but God has a purpose and a plan. Wow. And we need to pay attention. Wow. Because as Chloe said, you are not here by accident tonight. There are major shifts going on. There are major pages going to be turned in your book of destiny. Wow. God. Ah. Has a time and a season for everything. Wow. Shakaraba. Mmm. Whoa. Ha. Past history, really quickly. I had a very major divine appointment conversion. The audible voice of Jesus repeated the 23rd Psalm in the bathroom. When I was going through an extremely difficult time in my life, everything in my world had fallen apart. Wow. Wow. And I went from, a person that went to church Christmas, Easter, and the odd time in between, and would have said that I knew Jesus. I knew about him, but I did not have a personal, up-to-date, ongoing relationship with him. Until that night, when he came in and he said, "The Lord is your shepherd, Carol. You shall not want. He will make you lie down in green pastures. He will lead you beside the still waters." Whoa. Ah. And he kept repeating all the way through that psalm. And we got to the point where, yea, though you feel like you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't need to fear any evil because I am with you. Wow. And the Lord is saying to some of you tonight, you're walking through mud. You're walking through things. You're walking through areas. Where you feel like you're in the shadow of death. The Lord says, fear no evil, for I am with you. My rod and my staff will comfort you. And he will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Wow, he knows that about your enemies. And if you keep your heart right, your enemies will be defeated. Wow, I tell you, that turned my life around. I did a 180. Wow. Did my circumstances change? No. But my heart changed. There was a skip in my step. And the grass was greener and the sky was bluer. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Wow. And then I married a man that asked me, will you marry me? Figuring I would say, well, I have to think about it. You have two children, and I have two children, and I don't have very much money, and neither do you. And I didn't say, I have to think about it. I said, oh, yes. And I'm telling you, I've never been sorry. Chaba. And he said, yes, but what about this and what about that? I said, God will look after it. And you know, God has looked after it. He really has. Wow. And then we, John years ago had driven Benny Hinn around before Benny had a driver's license. And a friend of mine lived two doors down from me in Stratford, and her son was a very good sound guy. And so John said to Benny, why don't you have Billy do your sound? And so I was born again by that point. So Billy would take me down if I got my mom and dad to babysit. We would go down to Toronto to Benny Hinn's meetings in Cody Hall in Toronto. And it was incredible. There was just so many people there that couldn't even understand English, but got totally empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I saw God at work. Did that impact my life? Yes, it did. Yes, it did. So John and I ended up starting a church in my hometown. And you know, when you start a church, you can tend to forget. That's why I love Catch the Fire. You can tend to be this way focused on all the problems that the people have. And we were in that kind of state. And we'd heard that Benny hadn't been to Toronto in years. And we thought, well, he'd come back and he was at the at one of the big stadiums downtown, so we thought we would go. And of course, Benny always, you know, if Carol's around, he always calls me up. He says, Carol, come up here, you know. And usually my shoes are there and Carol's over here, you know. And then he says to his ushers, pick her up, you know. And we do it again, you know, up, down, up, down. But this one night, the night we went, hadn't seen him in probably 15 years, went that night, and he did that kind of thing, and invited us back to the green room. And in the green room, like, Benny is usually like Clark Kent. Superman on the stage, Clark Kent in the green room, if you understand the analogy, right? He's usually got a Coke, and he's kicked off his shoes, and he's just, you know, yeah. Anyway, that particular night, he was still under the anointing, like powerfully. And we had Kim DuPont with us, Mark DuPont's wife, who's a prophetic man. You may know of him. But anyway, Kim was with us. She went first, and me, and then John. And Benny just lunged at us. He says, "The anointing is all over you." And he just came at us. Kim went flying one way. I went flying the other way. I don't know what happened to John. Anyway, I was on the floor. And Benny, I heard him at one point coming saying, "Johnny, why don't you get your wife off the floor?" And John said, "She can't move, Benny. She's stuck." And he said, "Well, just leave her then." Ah. And I was so under the power of God. I couldn't move. Just couldn't get up. But I could hear in the dimness, you know, the din of the meeting. And I'm sure that if I would have focused on the din of the meeting around me, I'm thinking, here I am looking like an idiot. I'm on the floor. There's all these people around looking at me. What on earth am I doing here? I've got to get it together. But I thought, forget it. I don't care what they think. And there's every time the Holy Spirit comes powerfully on you, you have a choice. You have a choice. You have a choice. Is it going to be God? Or is it going to be your pride and self-esteem? Because God doesn't care what you look like. He cares what's going on in here. Well, at the end of the session in the green room, they peeled me off the floor, and my feet wouldn't walk, and they were like, I was walking on like, sort of like so, on the sides of my feet. And Kim on one side, John on the other side, and they're kind of, you know, dragging me out and of the building. And I saw Shabbat. Talk about fiery friends again. I saw Benny's brother, whom I hadn't seen in a very long time, but really loved him, his younger brother. Wow. And I saw him in the hallway, and I kind of in the din of being overcome by the Holy Spirit said, "Sammy!" And just kind of grabbed him, and he said, "Oh, don't touch me." And the minute I touched him, it was like, whoa. Don't think about it, Carol. It was like sticking your finger in a 220 socket here. What do you got? 220, yeah. Wow. It just tripled and quadrupled the power that was going through me already. And I didn't know that he had been in the other corner of the room under the power like I had been. But that night, I was buzzing. I had my finger in that socket. And it was a wonder I didn't die. My fingers felt like they were massive. Like, I looked at them one time, and I was sure they were just like, you know, like a foot long and about as wide. And I was just absolutely vibrating and buzzing, and it was just like, and it was so intense on my hands, and I thought, God, I got to get it off. And so I started rubbing it on my leg, and it shot down my legs, and I was just like, oh, my gosh. And so I said to John, because Ben had asked us out for dinner. He always eats after the meeting. And I said, well, John, just leave me in the car. I'll be fine. You go out for supper. He said, yeah, right. I'm leaving you downtown Toronto. Yeah, at 12 at night in the car. Right. Anyway, so he got us home, dropped Kim off, and he had to carry me into the house. He had to undress me, put me in bed. And I was under the power the whole entire night till probably about 4 o'clock the next day. Whoa. Ah. And that's when the Lord spoke to John. He said, because he kept saying to me, honey, don't stop, don't stop. I don't care. I'll do whatever. Just let the Lord keep coming on you. Don't. This is what we want. This is what we're looking for. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the power of God. We want God. Ah! So don't feel like you have to try to get it together. And so John prayed and said, God, what is happening? What is going on? And he said, I want you to give me your mornings. And I want you to hang around anointed people. Well, John said, Lord, I understand the mornings, although it's a bit difficult because we had just planted the Toronto church out of the Stratford church. We were going back and forth, and so we were on a very low salary, and Jeremy, our worship pastor, was even on a lower salary, and we had a part-time secretary. So how do you say, I'm not coming in the mornings? Sometimes there's a cost. Sometimes you have to pay a price. You can't earn it, and we certainly don't deserve it. But sometimes the Lord is saying, how much do you value me? How much will you give up for more? Wow. And so we gave the Lord our mornings for a year and a half. Sometimes it was absolutely heavenly. The presence of God came down. John played probably most of you don't even know what it is, but it's a musical instrument for dummies. It's called an auto harp. But the Lord loves it. To this day, we still worship him with the auto harp. It's like a little mini harp that has buttons on it that you push for the chords. And so we would sing and we would worship and we would read the scriptures. And John is a very wonderful person to go through the scriptures with because he's a very much, why, Lord? And so we went through them very slowly and put ourselves in those situations and wandered our way through the Bible. And we would pray. Wow. And we did it day after day after day after day. I'm not saying we did it absolutely. I can't remember whether we ever missed a day, probably. But not very many. Wow. And we rekindled a passion for Jesus. Our hearts became on fire for him. Our hearts longed to see his face. to be in His presence. You see, what happened at Benny's was a catalyst. But it would have gone away. It would have been a nice memory. And a nice experience. If we hadn't have done something about it. John queried about, what do you mean about hanging around anointed people? We didn't understand what that meant. So we started to go to different meetings where the power of God was. There were different streams, different varieties. We learned to eat the fish and spit out the bones. Yeah. Ah. But when there was a call for prayer, we went up. And we received more of a different anointing, of a different stream, of a different mixture. Wow, we're not called to be lone wolves, lone sheep, a loner. We're called to be the body of Christ, unique in our uniqueness. Ah, as the tribes of Israel were, but they were all Israel. They looked a little different in each one, but they had the same God. Wow. Wow. So learn to eat the fish and throw out the bones. Joe. And so our hunger grew. And then we heard that there was going to be a trip to Argentina. And John had been reading about, whoa, the revival that was going on in Argentina. How cities were being taken. Ah, how the nation was coming to Christ. Wow. And so Ed Savosa, wow, was putting a tour together. Well, and I'm usually the really cautious one when it comes to spending more than we have in our bank account. And we had $500 in our bank account. And we did have a ticket partway because we were regional overseers in Canada, in Ontario, for the Vineyard Movement. And there was a conference in Palm Springs. So that was paid to Palm Springs. But we had to, so we could do the trip, and it worked out that we could come back and be in the conference that we were required to be at. And but we still only had $500. And our daughter, Lori, came over and she said, the Lord's been speaking to me that you need $500. And it's all I've got. And I'm giving you, I don't know what you need it for, but here's $500. So we had $1,000. We put the rest on our credit card, maxed it, which for me is totally against every principle that I have been taught growing up. But I felt to do it. I felt to go, which for me was very strange. Ah, and sometimes you do. You have to go beyond. Because if you've noticed, if you've been walking with God for very long, there's times and seasons that if you get too comfortable, he won't leave you there for too long. Either that or you'll go real lukewarm. And then he'll spit you out. Shabba. And we went down to Argentina. And they took us. To about, I think there was 6 large ministries, and I mean thousands in the churches, like each church, their congregation would be well over 2,000. And they took us to almost prison, which was a maximum security prison. I had never been in a prison before. They took everything from us. And we walked in, and there was high walls and razor wire all along the walls and lots of guard posts with guards with guns. And they said, go down to that building down there. And it was really an eerie feeling walking, knowing your every move is watched. And we got part way. And all of a sudden, we heard these male voices singing loud. And the closer we got, the louder they got. Singing in Spanish. I'm free, I'm free, I'm free in Jesus. And the presence of God was so there in this maximum security prison. And we walked in the doors, and there was about 700 of them singing at the top of their lungs with their faces shining, with their smiles radiating. I'm free, I'm free, because he lives. The leader was in prison for life as a child rapist, and he was the leader of the group. I had a lot of religious stuff knocked off on that trip. And we thought we were bringing something to them. They impacted us with their love. They impacted us with their joy. They impacted us with their hunger for God. They impacted us with their enthusiasm. They were asking for transfers to another maximum security prison to evangelize that prison. The prisoners in that prison were asking for a transfer to their floors. Because they were so safe. And they were so full of joy. And you could tell what floors there were because outside the windows, they had made window boxes. And they were growing flowers in this maximum security prison. And they asked whether they could pray for us and bless us. And they had made each one of us little gifts, little bookmarks, out of the very little money that they had earned in the prison. And we were so impacted by their love. You see, when you have an encounter with Jesus, and you nourish that encounter, and you feed that encounter, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what's happening. Because no one can take Jesus from you. We went to other ministries. And we saw such an incredible unity between these men of God and women of God. They covered each other's backs. They covered their shortcomings. We went to Carlos Anacondi's meeting, who is a very famous evangelist in probably the world, but especially in Argentina. He would have stadiums with 100,000, 200,000 people regularly in his meetings. And we got on the tour bus. And we went down the street. And I thought, this is very strange. I don't see a stadium around. And we stopped in front of a tent. And I said to the driver, where are we? I thought we were going to Carlos Anacondia's meeting. And he said, we are. He had given a 1 month commitment to this tiny little Baptist church. And he did nightly meetings in a tent with sawdust on the floor. And there were pictures as we walked in. Pictures of gold teeth. Pictures of costume jewelry that had turned to real jewels. There were crutches and wheelchairs and braces in this little Baptist church. And that man of God, who could have been ministering to 100,000, 200,000 people, was in this little Baptist church on the sawdust floor.
Just put a hand on the person next to you and say, I'm having that right here, right now. Even as Carol's sharing, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would thicken your presence and stir up the hunger. Come on.
And then we went the last night to another church. And Claudio Friesen was his church. And so he called all the gringos up to pray for them. Wow. And we filed up on a very large platform. And he prayed for us. And I did a face plant on that floor. And had to be carried again to the bus. And then John thought that he'd carry me because our bedroom was on the first floor up. But like here, one is actually two floors up. But when he prayed for John, John fell to his knees with his hands stretched out. And he thought to himself, did I just take a courtesy drop for this man? Yo. And he got to his feet again. And Claudio wheeled around. He's very fiery and very flamboyant. Wow. And he looked at him and he said, do you want it? And the Holy Spirit spoke to John's heart. And he said, John, I have been trying to give it to you for years. And John says, oh, yes, I want it. And Claudio turned around and slapped his hands. And he said, then take it. And John said, I will.
And even now, some of you have taken it before, but you put it to one side. And God, I believe, is recommissioning. He's reigniting, but he's also knighting. And when Carol said, suddenly, I felt the power of God as she came from that place of just storytelling to impartation. Do you want it? Right now, the challenge for each of you is, do you want it? Do you want him? Do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want it? John says to us he didn't feel anything particularly, but it was his will. He said, I'm taking it. It was a tenacious grabbing hold of by faith.
And you see, we came back thinking. We had phoned Jeremy and said, we're going to do healing meetings once a month. And sometimes it doesn't look like what you thought. But God has more for you tonight. An impartation might last for a week. It might last for a day. It might last for two. But it will last if you spend time with him. If you take that impartation, if you say, God, I must have more. No matter what the cost, no matter what you're asking of me, Lord, I want you. You see, the lost people are really lost. I just was on your tube and on your trains. England is really lost. And he wants a room full of fiery, flames in love with him, spending time in intimacy. Wow. Not seeking recognition or acclaim, but saying, God, I want to make you famous. Jesus, I want to make your name heard. I want to be counted in as one of your fiery ones, one of your flames of fire. You see, the time is short, people. I don't know whether you've been listening to the news or watching the signs in the heavens or reading your prophetic parts in your Bible. But we need to come out of lukewarmness. We need to be a fiery lover, a passionate bride that has eyes for her bridegroom king, but that says yes to the destiny and calling. And it will look different in every circumstance, because every one of your fingerprints are different, and God has a unique calling and destiny for only you, and only you can fulfill that destiny and that calling.
Yes, Jesus.
But he wants us to be hungry. And you can't stir hunger up, but you can pray it in.
Come on.
You can say, God, I want you to make me so ravenous for you.
Just pray it in with Carol.
I want you to make me so hungry. God, I am not hungry enough right now. But God, I make a declaration to you, Lord, that I say I want to be hungry. I want all that you have for me. Lord, I repent for my complacency. I've fallen into lukewarmness. I've fallen into doing things the way it always has been done. Lord, I repent. I want more. I want to step out on the water. Lord, I want faith. Faith. He said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. And you will walk on the water. But you will not sink. Because even if you think you're going to sink, Jesus is there with you. Peter walked on the water, held Jesus by the hand, and Jesus pulled him up, and they both walked on the water back to the boat. Hello.
And even now, we just freely we receive, freely we give, and the fire can burn up rubbish, but it can also be a catalyst to your destiny. And I felt there was going to be a reestablishing and a recommissioning. There's going to be a knighting. Geraldine and Russell, would you just pop up onto the platform? I felt that Carol was going to just release an impartation to you two particularly. Wow. I felt it's not a coincidence you're here. The catchers, can we have you? And guys, just raise your hands to heaven right now before Carol prays for these two. And then we're going to ask our leaders to come to the front. Listen, Carol was sharing some of the process that God was leading her through, her and John through. And she was teaching in this, the hunger. She taught Stu and I, you know, for the first how many years we paid our way to follow these two around the world because we were hungry. We had no idea of that hang around anointed people. She didn't tell us about that at that time. And I'm like, my goodness, it was just a generational blessing that I must have just, we got. But we wanted to pay our way to feel and learn and experience more of God. And I want to bless you as a Catch a Fire London. You have an extraordinary heritage that some of you don't even understand or realize. And Holy Spirit, come on, just lift your arms to heaven right now. And Holy Spirit, would you release such an extraordinary hunger that bounces off the generations gone past as sacrifice that Carol and John and others in the anointing, that Catherine Kuhlman, that Benny Hinn, that they have won for us in honoring the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. I charge you as a church family to honor him like you've never honored him. To be hungry like you've never been hungry before. Never to be passive in worship, but to be incredibly tenacious for Jesus to know how much you want him. This is not about the fluff of revival. It's about the reviver himself. And God, we cry out for revival. We cry out for more. But within it, we ask that you would release. As we go into a time of impartation, we're going to move the chairs. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would release a hunger for an incredible, incredible revival of our hearts, first and foremost, that cries out, I want more, and I take it. Come on, just cry out, I want more right now. Come on, just cry out, I want more. I want more. So just don't, whoa, don't release, don't move the seats right now. Carol, you just, these two are special, precious friends of ours. And you were around in the early days, but I just felt that you were going to get a fresh wave tonight that was going to be a catalyst. So Geraldine and Russell, just get ready to take everything he has.
Father, I just pray for these two. And Lord God, I ask that you would give them an impartation.
Woo! Take it. Paul and Sue, where are you? Come on. Guys, just start to just receive everything he has for you right now. And I prophesy that you in this place will never be the same again. I declare a reawakening of your hearts, but I also declare an awakening that the presence and power of the mighty Holy Spirit will rest upon you but rise up within you. And can we have our senior leaders, so our executive team, first of all, and Matt and Kate and our fire group, just come to the front right now real quick. Real quick. Real quick. Come on, come to the front and can we have some catches? I believe that this is not another fun meeting. The seriousness that I felt with what Carol was describing is not a, I'm looking at the clock to see when the meeting is ending, but I'm hungry for more. And I felt there was a sacrifice coming to our leadership team that was going to set an example for the rest of the church at a whole new level tonight. And I challenge you, are you ready to take it from your spiritual mama of the house and the spiritual mama of the movement? Because freely we've received, freely we give. Every impartation that we have been given, we freely release.